This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Welcome back. And I think I may have found a new theme song intro for this podcast. Let's get it.
Put them hands up.
Crown and the MOB. B. Kennedy 404, you're a genius, baby.
Life in the hearts of men, just breathe. Speak, be heard for yours, or just leave. Gotta break rules of silence, hear the law straight from violence. No more police sirens, we won alliance. Common sense, need applying. Sick of all separation, rise up from hatred. Black, white, unite the nation.
Black, white, unite the nation. I'm loving it, totally feeling it.
We live for days of no crime. We need more scholars, deep minds. Let's go deal and more leaders shining. Plus more father figures, less time in. It's so real, it's cold here. No fleas for comfort, it's so weird. Let music bring back.
I love this. It's very high. B. Kennedy 404, you are a genius. B. Kennedy 404. You are a genius. You've done it, baby. You guys got to let me know what you think of that. That was Crown and the MOB, song called Love My People. How uplifting was that? Because I've been looking for an intro, and I was really hype on the New Orleans stuff. Like, I really enjoyed it. We got to get to a place, though, in the yacht where we could just put our own music intros, and it's not just me blasting a Bose speaker into a microphone, because I don't even know how that sounds in a car. Probably doesn't sound as good. Probably the bass doesn't come through as well. But when we get there, and we can do that, man, I think that's the song. Now, someone else is going to say, man, I don't really like it, but I love it, because you just start thinking about that. Let's unite. Let's be together. Let's be as one. Let's enjoy ourselves, man, because you know how I feel. You know, life is short. But you know it's not going to be too short, but not too long. It's going to be your drunk uncle's, damn it, already, your drunk uncle sports podcast. And I am your drunk uncle, Anwar Richardson. Welcome back to another one of our episodes, man. I'm closing in on episode 40, which is crazy to think about it, but I should be at episode 40 probably by sometime next week. And it's crazy. You know what? The Yak experience has been really interesting because I don't really do a lot of radio, local radio specifically. I don't really do a lot of local radio. And I like the guys in local radio. Don't get me wrong. Chad and Kevin, those are my dudes. Those are my guys. Trey, the producer, I like Trey. We get along really well. But the problem with radio is, and doing local radio specifically, is that they don't really pay you. When I say they don't really pay you, I mean they don't pay you. And I remember when I first got here in Austin, I think this was like maybe year two of my second year. So it'd be Charlie Strong's second year. And 104.9 approached me. They asked me, hey, man, why don't you come in on Mondays and do essentially a four-hour show. So I would go in on Mondays in the studio. And I thought it would kind of be kind of a good thing because you want to get to do a little bit of radio. Two, you know, a good chance to kind of increase my exposure here in Austin. And I thought, like, that's not a bad thing. But then they also started going down to, I think it's called Maggie Mae's, down in off of 6th Street and broadcast there. So, but every Monday, you know, you're doing like a 4-hour show and then you're going down to 6th Street and got to pay for a garage. Like every Monday, I'm like literally losing money, just giving it away. And again, you know, on the back end, you're saying, all right, well, you get some exposure. So I guess in some ways it's not a total loss, but in the actuality, I like at this point of my career, I just have so many other better things to do. And so when they call me, I have no problem going on at this and that, but for like weekly commitments, things to that effect. And they just don't pay. And I'm sorry. At this point in life, it's got to be about the money. It's got to be about the greed. It's got to be about the moolah, baby. Because if it ain't, what they say, if it doesn't make dollars, it don't make sense. So I like doing the yacht stuff. Of course, not getting paid here yet. But yet is the key word. It will happen. I believe it's gonna happen this year. Gonna buy me a big ass house off of Lake Travis or something. Nah, I'm just joking with that. maybe if you make enough to buy one of those little smart mini homes, I'd be happy with that. But it's gonna happen. As soon as one of you guys hook me up with one of your sponsors, man, elbow your friend who owns the business and let's say, listen, man, listen, or woman, ladies run the thing too. Hey, it's time. Listen, you gotta link up with this guy, Anwar. I like him. You're gonna enjoy him, and he's gonna promote the hell out of your company, and you're gonna make so much money that you're just gonna be burning it, because that's what an Anwar following does. I don't know. Not there yet, but we will be there. Hope everyone had a good weekend. It's your first time listening to me. Just real quick disclaimer, I curse. So I know a lot of people signing up, new people every single week. I curse. I'm going to try my best to limit myself on the F word. I think I'm going to try my best to limit myself on the F word. I'm going to probably do the other ones, though. Those are going to be totally on the table. I never say the C word, though. I don't know. That's just a really, really bad one to me. I don't know that, like, out of all the words, when someone drops a C word, I'm like, ooh, what did they do to you? Like, that's horrible. That's disrespectful. So you won't hear me that. But I'm gonna try my best to eliminate the F word and just go everywhere else. Is that freaking cool? See, I already did it. Started out okay, man. Hope everyone had a good weekend. I had a good weekend because, listen, right now, I can't say I'm in chill mode because I'm always working. Because even if I'm not literally at a game, there's always things going on. There's always, and you know, we're on the message board, and I always have my column on Sunday, the Sunday pulpit. So, you know, I always got things that I'm working on throughout the week. But as far as the, I've got to be somewhere, I got to be in a destination, I have to get in the car and head out to the stadium, be there for 8 hours or more, or get on a plane and sacrifice time with the family. Like, I don't have to do that right now. So that what this does is it kind of allows me some time to be around the family, catch up with them, start counting down to Big 12 media days so I can get the hell out the house. Oh, sometimes these kids drive me crazy, but my vodka and Red Bull, because I'm country like that. Oh, I'm country. You can be a brother, be country. Oh, and I'm country. I'm from the South, from Lakeland, Florida. And thank you, Vodka, for getting me through the tough moments in life. You've always been a friend. I love you. And this weekend has been cool. Like, my son, the youngest one, he's 7 months now. He's starting to crawl. So he's starting to become a little bit more agile, moving around the house. In fact, I actually had to go out and get some play mats, some soft ones for him, because while he's moving around, God bless him, but he's got a big head like his dad, and it's just sometimes like a bobblehead. And I have a floor that has a rug over it, but it's a really, really thin one, and pretty much he was just going down. It was just timber. And it was just, he was just getting too many head blows. And I just like, okay. Before my son ends up with CTE by the time he turns one, go out and get some mats on. So went out and got some mats, got him a cool play area. So he's good to go. His big ass head can continue falling and it will hit a foam padding and it'll be okay. And we won't have to worry about any long-term problems, right? So got that taken care of over the weekend. Watched a bunch of NFL games. And I'm sure you guys did, man. If you're a Cowboys fan, I feel for you. Because you know what's weird? It's like living in Texas, I'll be honest with you. So when I lived outside of Texas, I actually was a guy who didn't make, who enjoyed making fun of Cowboys fans. I'll admit that to you. I enjoyed it. I thought it was kind of funny. And here's the thing. I never really cared one way or another. I was never a Cowboys hater. In fact, I grew up as a Cowboys fan. Cowboys were actually my favorite team growing up, especially in the 80s as a child. You know, I was born in 73. So, you know, growing up, I enjoyed watching the Cowboys games and Tom Landry and Danny and all those guys that they had. Like, you go through the history, you guys know it. So I never was really a Cowboy hater, but I am a person who can be somewhat of an ass. So other people joining in on that, I was like, that's kind of funny. So I would just kind of go with it. But what I'm realizing is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the quick pause. So I have trash outside, and I'm seeing some dude rolling up in like this black Nissan Sentra and about to go through my trash. And I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. Okay. He looked at the trash. I guess he looked at the boxes. I guess he didn't want them. So I guess he's about to roll somewhere else. All right, we're good. So I feel bad for Cowboys fans now, because now I have Cowboys fans who are my friends, and they're despondent and they're hurt, and I feel bad for them. And so I don't even think it's that funny. I really don't think it's that funny. It's really having friends who are Cowboys fans made me really feel for you guys. And so if you are suffering after that loss, I feel for you. At least you know the Eagles didn't advance. So maybe misery does love company, and you can be okay with that. But I do feel for you. And so now we got the division stuff set up. We'll see what happens. But man, it seems like there's going to be a collision course right now, because the Patriots are playing good. Tom Brady just does the damn thing. They played well on defense, which is really impressive. Control both sides of the line of scrimmage. So very interesting. I would definitely going to bet on the Patriots. Probably will end up betting. Bye. Guy who's looking at my boxes. Weird guy. That's not weird at all. I have a lot of people come through my neighborhood, though. Like, this one thing, like, this living in this neighborhood, like, whatever you put out there, especially on a Tuesday, like, Tuesday is, like, the big major trash day, where Tuesday, you can just put anything on. You can put a toilet out on the curb, and they'll come, the city park comes to you, and they'll take it. So whatever you put out on, like, Tuesday, it is like people are out here, it's like they shopping. I'm talking about like they shopping. They're looking through your stuff like, oh man, I can take this home. I can take this with me. Like, they are dumpster diving like a mofo. My wife was one of those people who used to dumpster dive. Like, I used to be like, babe, we are not poor. Like, will you stop bringing home shit? And she was still doing. I'm like, babe, will you? But there's something about it where I had to relate. And I was just like, you know what? Let her do her. Like, she likes to go out and find deals, and she likes to feel like she got something special. She's a Facebook market person. Like, I call her my dumpster diver. But you know what? She saves us money. So you know what? I can't begrudge her. Anyway, let's get some football stuff. I don't want to keep going too much into some other things, because I have other things I want to talk about. But I do want to talk football. And I do want to get into, I don't know how I'm going to word the title of this particular subject, other than the transfer portal to hell. Because I just feel like when it comes to this new thing of the transfer portal, man, you talk about total freaking chaos. It is total freaking chaos. So for those who are a little bit unfamiliar, may not know the specifics about this, the NCAA decided this year that they would institute or start something called the transfer portal. And essentially, guys transferred before, right? Everyone knows that people have transferred before, and transferring is nothing that is new to sports, especially college football. It's particularly college football. People transfer in high school, so that's what I mean. People transfer technically and transfer teams in the pros. So it's transferring is not new. The transfer portal, that's kind of becoming the new thing. And it's really relevant for us right now, especially as we talk about University of Texas, especially as we talk about where we are as far as the college football offseason, because I'm a guy who, when I covered the NFL, I was used to free agency. And there was a designated period of time where there was free agency. And so sometime, you know, in February-ish or so, free agency begins and guys get to go. And the contracts are expired. Maybe teams decide they're not going to renew contracts, whatever the case may be. And they become free agents and they have time to, you know, negotiate a window to negotiate with any team that wants them, which you guys know free agency is. And then that window kind of closes because then the teams want to focus on a draft. And then the window opens back up after the draft. And I'm used to covering free agency. I get it. I've done free agency for years, and I've been able to cover a lot of good stories, break some stories, guys coming in for visits, who's going to where. By the way, the teams that usually spend the most in free agency are usually the bad teams. And so I don't really – the guys who overspend in free agency don't really end up making a lot of great moves. And it's just guys try to really – free agency is about trying to get right when you screw up the draft. Like that's what free agency is. It's we effed up in the draft. Look at me, so good. We effed up in the draft, and so we need to sign someone through a free agent that is going to be better than the guy that we drafted, because the guy that we drafted kind of sucked and we messed up, right? So that's what free agency is, right? This little vodka in my red Solo cup. I won't sing the song though. Apparently, I'm pissing y'all off again. Woo! That was tough. I didn't know he was a Sooner guy, man. But boy, here's one great thing about Orange Bloods. They will teach you quick. Step out of line and they will teach you quick. I made one time I said something about how Texas missed out on Matthew Stafford. Boy, there was a lot of people there to correct me on that in a heartbeat. And I was like, my bad. I was just playing, y'all. Come on now. Don't do it to a player. Don't do it to a player. Don't have, oh man, pimp down. Pimp down. Okay. Y'all kicking too hard. Stop. I'm used to free agency though, but I'm not used to college football free agency. And that's what the transfer portal has become. The transfer portal has become the college, and not even college football, because it applies to all sports. It has become the college version of free agency. And I don't know how the hell this thing will continue over the next few years as it is currently constructed. Now, it might. There's a huge possibility it might. I spoke to a friend of mine. He covers college football. He's covered college football for many years. Won't give the name, but a good friend of mine. I was talking to him about this. I think it was like Friday afternoon, and I was like, man, like I don't see how these coaches are going to continue with this, man. Because look, I feel like we are just one Nick Saban bitch fest away from this whole thing just blowing up in our faces. And it's like, dude, Anwar, you got to understand. The NCAA is going to do everything but pay players. He said they're going to do everything but pay players. So even if they have a system that is as chaotic as the system that we are seeing right now, they're going to allow it. And even if coaches are upset, the NCAA is saying we're going to accommodate the players as best as possible, but we're just not going to pay for the free labor. So you guys can transfer and do whatever the hell you want. Just don't ask us for money. And when he said it to me like that, I said to myself, dang, he's got a point. And then I told him he had a point, because it would have been a really weird conversation if he was talking and I was talking to myself. That would be weird. So I did have, and I did know how to engage in a conversation. But when you think about it, it does make a lot of sense. But man, they should have thought about putting some sort of rules and regulations and something so it's not so chaotic. So check this out. Because I had a lot of people asking me about the transfer portal. I had just people just asking questions. And I'll be quite honest with you, I did not have the answers to it. First of all, the transfer portal started in October of last year. And I'll just keep it 100 with you, because you know I always do. I never did the research into it. Because I didn't realize at the time that it would become such a huge thing. I don't know if there would be a way for me to have accurately forecasted the shitstorm that the transfer portal has created, but it has. And now I said to myself, okay, I've got to get the people the answers to the transfer portal, because I wrote a little bit about it in the War Room, and I kind of was talking a little bit about Shane Buechele. He still is not in the transfer portal, and People just started asking me questions, and there was one guy by the name of Big Eye 6912 asked me really good questions about, you know, how often can a guy get in the transfer portal, and, you know, how often can they stay there, and this and that. So I emailed the NCAA. If you hadn't read my column, which is cool, got a lot of things to do in life. I'm not mad or hating on that. Let me just give you some of the answers that the NCAA gave me about the transfer portal. I cut and paste an email, right? This is what he told me. You know, once you're entered into the transfer portal, a student athlete remains active in the portal for one academic year unless he transfers and the new school indicates that in the portal or withdraws from the portal. Then it also says student athletes can then enter the portal again next year. Wait. So I can go in and be in the portal 1 year, and you know what, coach? I mean, if you ain't playing me, man, I'll just go ahead next year. And then maybe I'll do it again next year. And maybe I'll do it again next year. I mean, well, then at that point, it had to be a grad transfer. And it says the NCAA did not put a limit on the number of times a student athlete can enter the portal. Who thought of this? Who said this was a good idea? Okay, so check this out. Players in the portal are allowed to take official visits to other schools while they're on scholarship at their current program. Essentially, you get to go to your wife and say, hey, babe, I'm thinking about leaving you for another woman. I'm going to go out on a couple of dates, and I'm going to let you know what I decide. But until then, I wanted to make sure you just make sure dinner's ready at 6. I should be home, but I'll let you know if I won't be. Cool? I mean, tell me how that conversation works out in your household. Because I know this much, if I had tried that in my house, you talk about an episode of Snapped? Oh my goodness. You talk about Left Eye burning down the damn house? Oh my goodness. You talk about my wife finding a perfect murder weapon, which is an ice knife, because when you stab the person, the evidence melts away. What? Yeah, I did say that. You didn't get it from me. But I'm just saying, about you talk about it blowing the heck up. So, and this is what these young guys are able to do, and young women too, because again, it applies to all sports. They are literally able to go to their coaches and say, look, I'm going. Like I may go. I don't know. And then right now you've got coaches who are a little bit handicapped. You got coaches who are unsure what to do. Because here's the thing. Coaches are allowed to cancel scholarships or reduce the aid while players in the portal. So you can come to me, Coach Anwar. I'm thinking about transferring. When a student athlete tells you, I am going to transfer, I want to be in a transfer portal, you are required to put that person in the portal. And I believe the person has to show up within 72 hours. I'm pretty sure that's what I was told. It's within like 72 hours. That person's name has to appear in the portal. Just has to. So he goes to the coach, goes to compliance. Either way, it must be done. But the coach can turn back and say, you know what? All right. You off scholarship. Let me know what you decide. Go home. You talk about a recipe for just chaos. You talk about a recipe for people to go at each other. You talk about a recipe to make two people hate each other. And you talk about what the optics going to look like when a young man or young woman comes out and says, listen, I felt like I wasn't getting a fair shake. I just wasn't quite sure why I was in the pecking order. I just wanted to kind of look around, but I'm not quite sure. But then the coach told me that I had to leave. So then I had to pack my bags, but I really didn't have anywhere to go, or I wasn't able to finish up my last couple of weeks of school, all that, just all the optics. You're going to have coaches, because eventually coaches are going to clap back. Eventually, coaches are not going to be held hostage. Coaches, I've told you this before, and I will say it again. I'll say it until I am blue in the face, which would be a hell of a miracle for my dark skin behind. Coaches love power. Coaches love power. College coaches particularly love power. They love to have control. That's why they're college coaches. Because I told you this before, NFL coaches, if you're an NFL coach, you got to deal with attitudes. And NFL players will tell you go F off to your face. They'll tell you to F off in a meeting. They'll tell you to F off in practice. Like, NFL players are a different breed. Because they understand that they run it. They understand that they run the show. And you ain't going to tell them anything. But college players, they can't say that. And I just can't see a scenario where college football coaches are going to want to re-recruit players that they already recruited and had to deal with a year or two prior. And I don't see a scenario where they're just going to be playing nice and let players hold them hostage. I mean, right now, as it relates to the University of Texas, you've got two quarterbacks, right? Cameron Rising, Casey Thompson, in the transfer portal. Cameron Rising took official visit to Utah over the weekend. Hasn't announced a decision, but he's over there in Utah, right? He went to Utah. We'll see where else he lands up at. And Tom Herman has said, hey, you know, he wants the guy back. He's hoping back. I asked Tom Herman about that back in the Sugar Bowl. And he told me, hey, I want him back. That was right. Well, I think I asked him right when I got off the plane. And he wants him back. Both of them. And here's the thing. If they were just any other players, I mean, Tom Palmer probably could have said, you know what, guy? You don't even have to worry about this scholarship. You could just go ahead and go home. But the quarterbacks is a little bit tougher. It's a little bit more of a conundrum. Because you don't want to let that guy go. You especially don't want to let two guys go. But yet, you've got to figure out how that balance of how do I essentially kiss this guy's ass enough so he doesn't leave. But I don't know what you do because in this case, Sam Ehlinger is your starter. And it just is what it is. And Sam Ehlinger isn't going anywhere. And Sam Ehlinger is going to be starter for the next 2 years. So it is what it is. Sam Ehlinger is going to end up being on the Heisman watch entering this season. Somebody told me, and I don't know this for gospel truth, so don't quote me, but somebody told me he was like ranked as the fourth favorite to win the Heisman. I know I said that incorrectly. I apologize. But at least he's ranked somewhere number four as far as winning the Heisman. He's not going anywhere. So what do you tell these young men? I wrote a really interesting article, but I talked to Roshan Johnson, the incoming freshman, and he gave me a lot of really, really good quotes. You got to check it out in Sunday Pulp. I'm not going to really rehash all the stuff that I said in there, but he takes it as, hey, I want to come in, I'll sit, I'll learn, I just want to be prepared. But some of these people don't want to be, want to wait. Some people want that instantly. It's really interesting because I was thinking about it since I've been here and in Texas, since I've been covering the University of Texas program, and I don't really cover recruiting hard. I got, it's just every once in a while, if Jason wants some help it's fine. I'll love to help. I actually don't mind it. I don't want to cover recruiting. Hear me well, Catch. I don't want to cover recruiting, but I definitely don't mind helping out with a couple of guys. But I was thinking about it. I think it was a little bit like on Sunday and especially on Monday. And I was thinking about some of the guys who were indecisive during the recruiting process. And man, what a huge kind of barometer it is to know how long that they will last at the program that they eventually commit to. Because there usually is a correlation from guys who kind of go back and forth in what happens to them when they get in college. So think about this. Ryan Newsom. You guys remember Ryan Newsom? who held a press conference and he verbally committed to his school. And then after the press conference said he's still open to coming to the University of Texas, came here to the University of Texas and then was out the door within like less than 2 years. Remember Cecil Cherry? Cecil Cherry was committed to Tennessee, I believe. And then Cecil Cherry shows up and maybe the second day of training camp practice, Cecil Cherry quits the team, leaves. And then, of course, he goes to South Florida and then quits there. And then he's had some JUCO or JUCO. I don't even know what Cecil's doing. He retweeted a story I wrote about him from 2015. He did that a couple of days ago. And I was just like, man, young man, you should have just stayed. Because everyone told him to stay. And he decided that he was still going to leave. Remember Devante Lampkin? In Espanol, tú remembre Devante Lampkin? I mean, that was the guy who went back and forth, and ultimately he just decided not to come. Just at the end of the day. And then he did 3 years at Oklahoma, decided to come out early, was not drafted, and was on a team. And I don't even think he was actually ended up staying on an NFL team this entire year. I don't believe that to be true. I would have to look that up. Someone else can look it up off the top of my head, but pretty sure he got cut. And that was kind of the end of him. But maybe he ended up on someone's practice squad, and I just didn't know that. Look, I remember Tonil Carter was committed to the University of Georgia. He decommitted, came to Texas. He's gone. DeAndre McNeil, another one. He was committed to another school, kind of going back and forth, came to the University of Texas, and he was gone. Remember Eric Fowler, committed to LSU for the longest time? Remember him, linebacker, five-star, out of Austin? And he was gone less than 2 years? It's frustrating for me because I believe that life is too short. I'll say that all the time because life is, you know, maybe it's not too short, but, you know, you never know. Life's not promised. The next day is not promised to anyone, right? So you've got to get the most out of life. But there is a part of you that has to be committed, that has to see it out, that has to see things through, that can't just quit. You can't quit a team 1 year into your tenure, 1 year into school. You're still using the GPS in a year in a new city. You're using GPS to get around. Man, I've been here. This is going into year five in June, and I still need some help getting around Austin. And you know why? You know why I need help getting around Austin? And I blame the city leaders for this crap. Because there's too many names for roads in Austin. It's BS. And it took me a while to figure it out. Because am I on Mopac or I'm on Loop 1? That's not fair. Because one person tells me to get on Mopac, other person tells me to get on Loop 1. That was BS. One time, am I on Capitol Texas Highway or I'm on 360? And again, depending on who you talk to, one person says, get on North Capitol Texas. Another person says 360, 71, or is it Ben White Boulevard? I mean, see what I'm saying? If you're a new person here, research is kind of the same thing as 183. And then, like, at one point, I think, like, 183 becomes, like, Anderson Lane. But then it becomes, like, what is it? Ed Bluestein Boulevard. I'm just like, what is going on here? So you're still figuring out. It took me years to figure out what the heck everyone is talking about. And there's more roads. There's more roads like that, right? Cesar Chavez is in First Street are kind of, like, the same for a little bit period of time. All right, I'm not gonna get into how confusing Austin can be to newcomers. I'm not gonna get into that. But then again, I lived in Steiner Ranch when I first moved here, and so all I did was sit in traffic. So I mean, then there is that. But that being said, it's still young, and you still got to like see it through. But you have guys who were maybe indecisive during the process, and now they can literally transfer. I almost say quit, but it's almost the same. And can think about doing it an unlimited amount of times. However many times you want to do it, you can do it. Now still, you still got to sit out. You still got to sit out a year. But if I was the NCAA, what I would do is I would have a limited period. just a limited period. I would treat it just like free agency. And I would say from this date until this date, not an academic year or something like that. I would say summertime, right? Something to that effect. You can, from June 1st to July, whatever, 30th, that's your transfer window. And maybe have a little transfer window after the season. Maybe a little transfer window, let's say, from December to, like, February. No, that's too long. December to January. I would just have a limited window where guys could try. I wouldn't take it away, but I would shorten it just a little bit. Because, listen, if you say, hey, we're looking out for the student-athletes, then you also have to know that you don't want student-athletes to transfer all the time, at any time, be in the portal at all times, because it's not helpful. It's not helpful. It's detrimental. I don't see how it helps a child to be able to go in every single year if they want to. Again, they'll still have to sit out, but to be in the portal every single year, I don't think it's beneficial to the programs, the member schools, where guys can continue to do this. Guys, think about this. Just think about this for a second. What will spring look like in college football going forward? Because here's what's going to happen. I guarantee you it's going to happen. You're going to have spring. You're going to have the depth charts that come out in the spring. And guys are going to look at where they are on the depth chart. And they're going to start thinking, okay, let's see what happens. And then once they get through spring and they get through spring ball and they realize, hey, well, I'm still third on the depth chart, or maybe I'm still second on the depth chart. You're going to have a host of guys going to this portal, because this is just, we're in the beginning. It's going to become more advanced, and there's going to be more people that are going to do it. And it's going to be more people that can kick the tires, especially if they know there are no repercussions for getting in the portal. If all I have to do is get in the portal and I can still keep my scholarship here because you're not going to get rid of me, well, then I will continue to do it. And some will say, look, that's a great thing. Let these guys shop around. To that I say, I'm okay with guys examining their options. But let's have some sort of sanctity about this. Let's have some sort of structure about this. Let's have some sort of organization about this. This should be, I would even be entertaining conversation on how many times a person can even enter a portal. I would entertain the conversation that a person can't enter a transfer portal for 2 years, barring a death or something to that effect. Like, that's how I feel about it. Because at the end of the day, and I understand it, I'm not stupid. I'm not naive. I get it. This is also a business. People are making money. I get that the NCAA makes billions. I also get that. But I also get that these young people should also be focusing on graduating too. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just starting getting old. And maybe and that's possible. I might be one of those people. Even though I love that my intro music, I gotta say, I thought it was pretty hype. But maybe I'm getting a little bit old. Maybe I'm starting to get a little bit out of touch. But I still think graduating has to be kind of factored into that. I think last time I checked, you know, you go through your 2 years of school, and then towards the last 2 years, then you really get into your major, the crux of everything. I would be even entered in that. I just feel like there has to be more regulation. There has to be more control. I just don't think it can be the wild, wild west the way that it is and not have players, one, making bad decisions. I know you can say it's up to the players, but you know we're supposed to be there to help these young people. And then you're going to have resentment. And you don't want people having to decide, like, if I go in this portal, do I not get financial aid? And you don't want coaches to be in a situation where they have to be the bad guy and say, listen, you know, you go into this portal, that's cool, but you can go kick rocks. I don't want you a part of here. You don't want to be a part of here. And you're not allowing enough structure for people to work things out, for conversations to be had, for people to kind of figure things out. These are also young men who are 18 years old, 19 years old, first time away from home ever, homesick. First time they've never started. Dealing with that type of pressure. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that's why I'm saying this is the transfer portal to hell. because I don't know how this gets better, but I do know this. When it comes to any system, people find ways to work the system and people will find ways to game the system. And what we're seeing now is people working within the system, but there will come a time where these people, especially these young athletes, they're going to figure out how to game the system. They're going to figure out how to beat this system. And then you're going to have coaches who are going to fight back. Creates just an ugly thing. So it's a transfer portal from hell, but it is free agency. And this is where the NCAA is at. And this is what we're doing going forward. I can't say I'm a particular fan of it. I can't say I really enjoy it. But it is what it is. And this is where we're at. And I guess at this point, honestly, all I can do is get used to it. All you can do is get used to it. And we're going to have to judge and see what happens. You know, we'll see what happens with KC Thompson and Cameron Rising within the next couple of weeks. School starts, I believe it's on the 22nd, if I'm correct. So those guys are going to have to make decisions pretty soon. And once, even when we get out of spring, what's going to happen when guys decide they want to go into the portal then? So it's going to be a really interesting thing. I think it's going to get worse before it gets good. But damn, NCAA, just wish you would have called me and talked to me about it because I could have helped you out. All right, guys, that's it. That's all I got. That's all I got for right now. I hope you guys have a fantastic, fantastic rest of your week. I will holler at you later on in the week. Looking forward to us reconnecting. Might tell you a little story about me going to Walmart on Monday at 3:30. Ugh. I don't know if I want to relieve it, but all I can tell you like this. It was like, you remember the scene in Star Wars, the cantina, when it's like, that was Walmart at 3:30. The creatures that were in there. My wife had some back pain. I went out and gave her some things, wanted to get her some stuff and to deal with that pain. And oh my gosh, never again. It's all I can tell you. Never again. All right, guys, until later this week, I'll see you. Stay safe. Be blessed. Holla.
Just a bro, we salute you. Protect and serve all is beautiful. Go hard for yours. Like-